It is wonderful to be here today. Amen. God is truly going to bless you today. Believe you me, he is. Because do you know why? You are blessed. You cannot be cursed. Amen. Oh, come on. Isn't that exciting that you are blessed? You cannot be cursed. Where's your response? You are blessed. You cannot be cursed. Amen.
Amen.
That is what God says about you. You are blessed. You cannot be cursed. I'm going to be speaking from Numbers chapter 25. That's in the Old Testament. Thank you very much. That's in the Old Testament. And just so that no one switches off and think that because I'm speaking from the Old Testament, it doesn't apply to you, what I need you to do is to please insert your name anytime you hear me say the people of Israel or the Israelites or God's people. Please insert your name there so that you'll be part of the script. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Because I believe God has a word for you and God has a word for me too. Amen? Now the Israelites, as I'm saying, had been slaves in the land of Egypt for about 400 years. I mean, that is quite a familiar story to some people, but to others it's not. So just to give you a brief rundown, there were 70 people that went to the land of Egypt, the house of Jacob. And they were enslaved for 400 years. But God said to them, I'll bring you guys out. And he did. Miraculously. But they had been in a land that worshipped idols. And somehow, I believe, they were contaminated. Or they might have taken on some of their practices. So when God miraculously brought them out of the land of Egypt, he gave them instructions on how to live. And the reason why I'm saying that, insert your name anywhere you see God's people or the people of Israel, is the way they were contaminated, is the way you and I are contaminated. Because when, prior to we becoming believers, prior to I becoming a believer, or prior to me coming to faith in Christ, I did what the world did, and I worshipped what the world worshipped. Because that's all I knew. I didn't know anything else. But when we become Christ followers, we need to be taught the word of God and learn to live this new life that God is prescribing for us. Amen? So that is why when one comes to faith in Christ, the first thing we do is we encourage the new believer to read the Bible daily so that they will know how to live this new life. The Bible is the instruction manual for us or for Christ followers. So what we do, that is why when you come to church, there is always a preach. The word of God is taught on a Sunday and in small groups. And as a church, we encourage you to read your Bible daily at home by sending you daily readings so that you learn to put off the old self and begin to walk in new ways. This is what it looks like. When we come to faith in Christ, see, this is me with my old life, my sin. This is how I come. I don't know any other way. This is it. And then when I become a believer in Christ, when I read the Bible daily, what happens is when I read the Bible daily, when I meditate on it, when I do not argue it, when I allow the word of God to impact my life, when I begin to change my ways, I take off the old self and daily I put on the new self. It is intentional. I cannot stand there and wait for the cardigan to get onto my skin. I mean, I'm a woman of faith, but with all the faith in the world, the cardigan cannot get onto my skin. I have to take it off daily and put a new one on. Are you getting the picture? So it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off the old self. And the only way I can help you remember is to put on my cardigan. It says, put off the old self, or put off your previous way of life. You put off the old self completely, discard your former nature. You take it off completely, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. Amen. It is an intentional thing to do. Without reading the Bible and learning how to be like Christ, we remain dirty. Remember, the Israelites had been in the land of Egypt for quite a while, and therefore they had learned ways that they shouldn't learn and had done things they shouldn't do. Just like before you and I became Christians, we learned ways that we shouldn't learn. We did what we shouldn't do. And this is how we came to Christ. We came to him dirty and contaminated. And for that, I'm going to show you what that looks like. I've got some colored food coloring. Sorry, I'm not going to give you food. Don't worry. I know I love food, but I'm not going to give you any food. Yeah. That's excellent color there. This is how we come to God. Dirty and contaminated, totally. And then what happens is, when we are intentional about reading the Word of God daily and putting it into practice, we begin to clear out. As you read the Word of God and you don't argue it, you believe it and walk in truth, this is what happens. The dirt comes out. The more you do this, you become a child of God. You become Christ-like. But this, the Word of God has got to go in daily. Serious. You see that the water is still not clear yet, is it? It's still colored. So you cannot come to church on a Sunday, receive a little bit, and then be a new Christian. It has got to be daily, a continuous thing. When you stop putting the Word of God in, what happens? The color stays the same. And so there are lots of people who have become Christians, and this is what they look like. So when God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, he was careful to teach them how to live because he knew they had been contaminated. I'll read to you Exodus. We are coming to Numbers chapter 25. Don't worry. Just keep the page open. We are getting there. So when God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, he gave them instructions, and that's in Exodus chapter 20. You may write it down. For the sake of time, I'm going to read to you. Exodus chapter 20, I'll read from verses 1 to 6. It says, then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idol or any likeness, form, or manifestation of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water underneath the earth as an object to worship. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely mine, visiting, avenging the iniquity of sin and guilt of the fathers on the children, and that is calling the children to account for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing graciousness and steadfast loving kindness to thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Amen. God was very intentional in helping the Israelites learn how to worship him so that his graciousness and steadfast loving kindness would remain with them and with their children for thousands of generations to come. And the same is true. God has given us the Bible so that we would learn how to live, so that we will actually get rid of the old self. Because when we are like this, blessings don't come. You need to keep reading the word of God, clearing out the old life. The more you do it, the more you begin to walk in obedience, and the more God's blessings come your way. Amen? Remember, God's desire is that you are blessed. You cannot be cursed. Amen? So God took the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, and he's leading them to the promised land. We are still on our journey. We are going to Numbers 25, but stay with me here. Numbers 22. I'm going to read Numbers 22. Verses 1 to, I believe, 12. It reads, interesting story. The Israelites journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab on the east side of the Jordan River across from Jericho. And Balak, the king of Moab, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was terrified because of the people, for they were numerous. Moab was overcome with fear because of the sons of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this horde will lick up all that is around us, just like the ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was the king of Moab at that time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, a famous prophet diviner, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is by the Euphrates River, in the land of the descendants of his people, to call him, saying, "There is a people who have come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now please come, curse these people for me, for they are too powerful for me. Perhaps I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know your reputation, that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and of Midian departed with fees for divination in hand. And they came to Balaam and told him the words of Balak. Balaam said to them, "Spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you, as the Lord may speak to me." So the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam that night. God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Now, hang on. God knew that. When God asks you a question, it means he's drawing your attention to something. "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Hear this. The people who came out of Egypt cover the surface of the land. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out." God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You cannot curse the people, for they are blessed." Amen. You cannot curse the people, for they are blessed. You cannot be cursed because you are blessed. Amen? Amen? The Israelites were vast in number, about 2 million people or so. It must have been very unnerving for the surrounding cities to see Israel coming in their direction. For they had heard how God miraculously led them out of the land of Egypt. And to take you back to Numbers chapter 21, I love reading the Bible. This church, we love encouraging you to read the Bible. That's why we spend time going through the Bible. If I had just read one verse, you wouldn't be getting this history or be reminded of the history of the Israelites. So I'm taking you back to Numbers chapter 21. We are still on our journey. We're going to Numbers chapter 25. Bear with me. But we go to Numbers chapter 21. And what happened there was, the Israelites were minding their own business and going where God was leading them. But the Canaanites decided to attack them. And they dared to take some of the Israelites. And the Israelites cried out to God and made a vow to him and said, "If you will indeed hand over these people, that is the Canaanites, to us, we will utterly destroy their cities." And the Lord heard. Remember, you are blessed. You cannot be cursed. So the Lord heard the voice of Israel and handed over the Canaanites. Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Homer, that is dedicated to destruction. The Amorites did not learn from the Canaanites' example. They also made the mistake and attacked the Israelites. The Israelites wiped them out and took their cities. The king of Bashan also made the same mistake, fought against the Israelites. The Israelites wiped them out and their cities were taken. Now, don't forget, God is the one fighting their battles, and it is impossible for God to lose a battle. Amen? So whatever battle that you are fighting right now, know that God is the one fighting it for you, and it is impossible for you to lose. Amen? God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And if when he says, behold, I am with you always, it means, behold, I am with you always. Amen? Amen. Now the Israelites are in the plains of Moab. And Balak, the king of Moab, has seen what the Israelites had done to all these cities. And he was terrified. That is what it says in the Bible. He was terrified of the Israelites, for they were numerous. Only about 2 million people staring at you, who so far had not lost a single battle. And they were overcome with fear. So Balak's brilliant idea was to curse the people of Israel so that they would not prosper. Now remember, I said anywhere you hear the people of Israel, you insert your name there. So the enemy's desire is for you not to prosper, and he wants to find ways to curse you so that you will not prosper. But remember, God says, you cannot be cursed because? Amen. I like that. So King Balak called Balaam to put a curse on God's people. But God said to Balaam, you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. They didn't hear it. They tried it on 3 different occasions and set up altars, sacrificed animals, ready to curse God's people. But each time, God blessed the Israelites instead. Amen. The enemy knows that you are blessed, and he will go to every length to ensure that you do not walk in your blessing. Now, if you do not believe me, just when you go home, leisurely read Numbers chapter 23. I wouldn't be able to read that to you, but let's leisurely read Numbers chapter 23. Now, the enemy sees that God is doing a great thing in this church. So it is not just individuals that the enemy is preventing from reaching their full potential. He sees what God is doing in this church, and he is scared. So he's looking for ways to destroy what God is doing in this church. But remember, God says, they are blessed. They cannot be cursed. Amen? Amen. He doesn't stop at one attempt. He keeps trying. That is why we should pray without ceasing. He tried, when we read, you read Numbers chapter 23, 3 different positions, 3 different locations. They looked at them from vantage point and said, okay, try cursing them from this side. It didn't work. And then he took Balaam to another side, cursed them from this side. It didn't work. He took them to the other side, cursed them from that side. It didn't work. And that is what the enemy is doing. He doesn't stop. The fact that he couldn't get you yesterday doesn't mean today he's not going to try. He is going to try the same thing. That is why the Bible says, stay alert. Watch out. For your great enemy, the Bible says, your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He may not have succeeded yesterday, but he's still trying. And I believe one of the things that we do as a church that the enemy detests is Vacation Bible School. It is a holiday club that we run in this church for 5 to 14-year-olds, mostly for unchurched. Some church people come, but mostly the unchurched come. And we teach them the word of God. And in that week, I believe the enemy shakes in his boots. Because what we do is we spend time teaching 5 to 14-year-olds the word of God. People who don't know God, they get to learn the word of God. They get to praise God. You should see them singing, dancing, raising hands in the air. They think they're just learning routines, but they are praising God throughout the whole week. And people are coming in their numbers. The saddest bit about VBS is when we have to turn children away because the building is full. And the enemy sees the number of children excitedly running. In fact, the parents are behind them, but the children are running into the building. And they see the parents streaming in into the building. And he behaves the same way Balak behaves. And he goes, look at these people. If I allow them all to come in and worship God, what is it going to be like? I have to stop these people. And what is going on, or what we read of what Balak did, is what is happening in the spiritual realm, except that you and I don't see it with our spiritual eyes, unless, of course, you are living in the spirit. Because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly or supernatural places." So the Israelites were getting on with their lives, but they didn't know Balak was planning evil towards them. And right now, the enemy is planning evil towards you and I. That is why it is important for us to dwell in the shelter of the Most High and remain secure in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? Because the enemy cannot withstand God's power. Amen? So if you make it your dwelling place, if you make God, if you make the Most High your resting place, if you make him your dwelling place, there is no way the enemy will come to you. Yes, he will try, but God is your protection. Amen? God could not let Balaam curse his people, so Balaam returned back home. Now, we get to Numbers chapter 25. So, verse 1, I'm going to read, it says, "Israel settled and remained in Shittim, and the people began to play the prostitute with the women of Moab by being unfaithful to God. For they invited the Israelites to the sacrifices of their gods, and the Israelites ate food offered to idols and bowed down to Moab's gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor in worship. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Or some translations say, the Lord's anger blazed against his people. Can you imagine God's anger blazing against his own people? Now, why did Israel do such a thing? Why did Israel, the people of Israel, why did the Israelites go and eat food sacrificed to idols when God has said, don't do it? Because we read it in Exodus. That's why I took my time to read that to you, so that you know that God actually spoke to them before they got to that point. Because Balaam knew he couldn't curse God's people. And so he taught Balak what to do to the people of Israel. Balaam knew that the Israelites were blessed and could not be cursed. So on his advice, King Balak cast a stumbling block before the people of Israel. I'll take you to Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Again, please write these down and read it when you go home. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "But I have a few things against you, because you have some among you who are holding to the corrupt teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, enticing them to eat things that had been sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of sexual immorality." Balaam knew he couldn't curse God's people because they are blessed. But he knew that if he could get them to sin, then God's protection would be removed of them. And that's exactly what he did. Did the Israelites know that being unfaithful to God by playing the prostitute with a Moabite woman would cause God to be angry? Of course they knew. Did they know that it was wrong to eat food sacrificed to Moab's gods? Did they know that it was wrong to bow the knee and worship a false god? Of course they did. Because only 3 months after coming out of Egypt, God spent his time and gave them so many instructions. And some of them was, "You shall have no gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idol or any likeness of any form which is in heaven above or on the earth beneath." Why? Because he said, "For I, the Lord, am a jealous God." Our worst enemies draw us to sin. Balak knew that God was fighting for his people, and there was no way that he would win if he went to fight them. And by the advice of Balaam, he enticed the Israelites to do what God had expressly told them not to do. And Balak very cleverly sent beautiful women to invite the men to their idolatrous feast. Some of them fell for this deceit. The Israelites would have fought and won had Balak come with swords, but he didn't. Israel's prostitution or other promiscuous sexual activity they got involved in did what all of Balaam's enchantments could not do. They set God against the Israelites, and now he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. My question to you is, what is the enemy using to entice you from doing what is right? Because when he comes, he doesn't say, "Now, Irene, I'm going to actually ask you to do something. What I'm going to do will mean you will disobey God. When you disobey God, it means he's going to remove his protection of you, and then you will not be under his protection or his blessing. So now do what I'm going to ask you to do." The enemy doesn't come that way. That is why God has written the word of God for us to read it, so that we'll become wise and see the schemes that the enemy puts our way, so that we cannot be led astray. The enemy is forever distracting you from doing what is right. When the word of God is preached, now let me actually show you how the enemy distracts, because he doesn't come wearing a red cape with horns and a red face, So that you go, that's the enemy, run away. He doesn't behave that way. Let me just put this scenario before you. See, when the word of God is preached, such as I'm doing now, and after service you're pondering over it, a friend comes to whisper in your ears, "You didn't really believe that, did you? You don't think that's what God meant in the word, do you? I mean, I know brother X and brother Y and sister Z who does that, and they are fine. Surely those people have been to, what's the word? Fanatic. You don't have to do that, do you?" Or your own friends will distract you from being obedient and label whatever is taught, so that you can walk away and not do what is right for you to be under God's blessing. And let me speak directly into this, for it has bothered me for weeks and months now. One of the sure ways that the enemy is enticing most people from receiving teaching in this church is they labeling it, or the stumbling block that the enemy is using that some of you do not know. And I pray that today it will become so clear to you, is that the teaching that is coming from this church is being labeled as series. And so as a result of that, people don't want to receive it. When they hear the word series, it's as though what their friends, I'll call them accomplices, because friends lead you to do right, accomplices lead you to do wrong, isn't it? Am I wrong? English is not my first language, but I believe I understand a little bit of English. So what is happening is, or what they mean is, don't listen to that preach. Pay no attention for the 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks that is being preached. Actually, don't go to church. In fact, don't do what they are doing, because you know what? It will change your life. And I don't want it to change your life, because when it changes you, it means I will have to change too. And I don't want to do anything about the sinful life that I'm leading. So don't do anything about it. They label it as series. And unfortunately, people walk away from the word of God that could actually change their lives, and they become healthier and position themselves for blessing. But because some unwise person spoke into their ear, they walk away from listening to what would position them for blessing. And that is a stumbling block that the enemy is placing before some people. And unfortunately, they are buying into it. Remember, you are blessed. You cannot be cursed. And the enemy is looking for ways that he can make sure that you don't come under God's protection. That the accomplices, I will call them, are encouraging people to disregard the word of God. Because whatever series that is done in the church, may I ask you a question? Where is it preached from? Is it preached from the Quran? Where is it preached from? So when they ask you to disregard the word of God, they are doing exactly what Balak did to the Israelites. Now let's look at what happened when Balak asked the people of Israel to disregard the word of God, and they were unwise enough to disregard it. Verse 3 of Numbers 25. And it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. That is in the Amplified Version. New Living Translation says, in this way, Israel joined in the worship of Baal of Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against his people. The Lord issued the following command to Moses, seize all the ringleaders and execute them before the Lord in broad daylight so that his fierce anger will turn away from the people of Israel. So Moses ordered Israel's judges, each of you must put to death the men under your authority who have joined in the worship of Peor. What happened when the people of Israel or God's people disregarded the word of God? God's judgment came against them. God held them accountable for their actions. And at this point, just let me remind you that accountability was introduced by God. That's another word that people don't like to hear. But accountability was introduced by God. Holding each other to account improves the health of any organization or church, and failure to do so results in everybody doing what is right in their own eyes, and the end result is never good. God gave an authoritative order, and he said, seize all the ringleaders. In fact, in studying for today, I kept reading different versions of the Bible because different versions had different words to explain what was going on. The Amplified Version and the American Standard Version says in verse 4, take all the leaders. Take all the leaders. You mean leaders were involved in what was going on? Yes, they were. In fact, it was leaders and princes that were part of the people that went out of the camp of Israel into the country of Moab to join in the idolatry that was going on. Speed of the leader, speed of the team. That is why God said, Moses, get the leaders, execute them in broad daylight, make an example of them so that the people will not follow this example because this is not the way that I taught you guys to live. God was displeased with what happened, and they had to be taken out. At this point, I would speak not just to myself as a leader, but to other leaders here, and to not just leader by position, but to parents, because you are leaders in your own households as well, that it is your God-given responsibility to live right and hold your family accountable for what is not right. Amen. Amen. Because if you do not hold them accountable, God will hold you accountable. When God places you in a position, it means he wants you to, see, lead. The word lead means you are in front and other people are behind you. So if as a small group leader, I do not read the word, I'm not excited by it, and people come in on a Wednesday, they come and they are bored. But I know no one is bored in my small group, unless, of course, you do not want to learn the word of God. That way you will be bored because you would like what is coming out. And therefore, if you are leading a group of people as well, you need to be excited by the truth in the word of God. so that they'll be excited by it. I'll give you a little example. When Tracy was younger, in secondary school, not that young, but in secondary school, I used to give a lift to a friend of hers who lived in the area that we lived in. And on this occasion, they had actually cooked something. And she was so thrilled by what she had cooked because she didn't cook at home. I mean, at that age, how many children went into the kitchen? And she was so thrilled. And she held her dish in her hand, very proudly ran to the car. Irene, look at what I've cooked. I'm so excited. Look, she was ready to show me, only she went to the wrong vehicle and opened it. And so the person looked at her face as if to say, what are you doing in my car? And then she said, sorry. So she shut the door, and then she came looking for my car. And very embarrassingly said, I was going to show you my meal, but I went to the wrong vehicle. She was so excited, she couldn't wait to tell me what she had cooked. When we read the Word of God and we receive revelation in it, we are excited and we want to come out and tell other people about it. But the reason why you don't come out to small group is because you are not excited, because there isn't much in you to give. Because you should have seen this girl. She was so excited, she went to the wrong car because she wanted to show this person what she had cooked. What are you cooking spiritually that you want to bring together to come and share? Verse 6. I will run over time, just to warn you. I will run over time. Verse 6. It says, then one of the Israelites came and presented to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and the whole congregation of the Israelites while they were weeping over God's judgment at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Imagine that. God has said, wipe these people out. A plague has broken out. People are dying. Moses and the congregation are crying out unto God, pleading and begging for God to have mercy. But that is what someone does. Verse 7, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through the body. The man of Israel and the woman, that is. Then the plague on the Israelites stopped. Nevertheless, those Israelites who died numbered 24,000 people. 24,000 people who took part in these forbidden pleasures paid dearly for it. God does not deal with us in the same way these days when we go against his word. Yet, God's word will be fulfilled. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, if anyone destroys the temple of God, that is corrupting it with false doctrine, God will destroy the destroyer. For the temple of God is holy, it is sacred, and that is what you are. Physically, 24,000 people died. But when we sin, that is what it says, that God will destroy the destroyer. Imagine the scene. Moses and the whole congregation of Israelites were weeping over God's judgment at the doorway of the tent of meeting to turn away the wrath of God. However, one of the leaders, not even a leader, one of the princes. See, some people, when they become leaders, they think they're untouchables. One of the princes who had no fear for God, defiantly brought a Midianite woman openly in front of those who were interceding on behalf of the congregation and took her into the tent. Now, the word tent there signifies such booth or place of retirement as was designed and fitted for lewdness. So while people were interceding to turn away the wrath of God, he did not blush for what he did. He rather prided himself and gloried in his shame. Leaders need to step up. We heard that last week. And be seen as leaders when it matters. Phinehas did. It says in verse 7, when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the grandson of Aaron, the priest, saw, when he saw this, he jumped up. There was urgency in his spirit. He jumped up and left the assembly. He took a spear in his hand and rushed after the man into his tent. Phinehas thrust the spear all the way through the man's body and into the woman's stomach. God testified his acceptance of the action taken by Phinehas, and he immediately put a stop to the plague. I am addressing me, and I'm addressing you as a church. Holding each other to account is something we cannot refuse to do as a community. Because Phinehas did. And as a result of that, the plague was stopped. All through the Bible, God wants us to hold each other to account. But for some reason, we have learned the wrong way and think, oh no, what they're doing is just their business. I cannot interfere with them. I wonder what would have happened if Phinehas had not done what he did. Because they were still praying. They were still crying out to God. But the plague didn't stop then. It stopped when Phinehas took action. When you hear people saying evil things about each other, say to the person who is speaking, no, I will not join you in what you are doing. When you see that people are committing sin and they're trying to draw into it, say, no, I will not do that. Unless we begin to speak up, and you are not being horrible by speaking truthfully and respectfully. Unless we do that, God's judgment is upon us all. I will just jump a lot and just tell you the story then. Because in chapter 1, we read that some men actually went to join in the idolatry that was going on. Later on in verse 11, we read that God was angry and was about to wipe out the whole of Israel until Phinehas stepped in. Some men did it. Now God was angry with the whole. That is why it is important that we hold each other to account. Because remember the story of Achan. It was one man who touched what God said, do not touch. As a result of that, in their next battle in Ai, what happened? They lost. And Joshua was beside himself, said, God, why? Why do we have to lose a battle? You've said you will go before us. You said you will fight on our behalf. All this while you've been fighting for us. Why did we have to lose this battle? And God said, one man touched something he was not supposed to touch. And therefore, the whole of the camp was involved in it. Your sin affects me. And my sin affects you. So if I see that you're doing something wrong, I will speak into your situation. If you see that I am doing wrong, I give you permission to come and speak into my situation. Because I do not want what I do to actually be a curse on the church. Because God says, you are blessed. You cannot be cursed. I'll just briefly mention just one or two points and then I'll leave the rest. We are intentional about encouraging you to put on the new self. We are very, very, very intentional in the church. Some of you have heard about daily readings that go out. We didn't just do it because we have nothing to do with our time. We did it so that when you come to Christ contaminated like this, you would read the word of God and 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 read it until it is getting clearer, isn't it? Until it begins to change, you become Christ-like in your ways. And this is a daily affair. So daily we send the emails out. Some people haven't even opened it in 2 years. We send it out and we say it comes out, I think 12 a.m. or 1? 1. Open it at a time that suits you. We do not expect you to open at 1 a.m. No, we are not punishing you. It comes out because some people read early. Some people read at lunchtime. Some people read in the evening. But it is there. You read so that you will become like Christ. You are putting on the new self. This is it. This is not just for adults. This is for teenagers as well. We heard last week, Daniel, how he was in the land of captivity and yet he chose to do what is right. And he lived under God's blessings. We are intentional about encouraging you to put on the new self. And then the small group that is also encouraging you to put on the new self. Ask yourself, how many excuses you have for not coming to small group? I have too many, I wouldn't say it. People will actually recognize themselves in it, so I'll move on. And then we come to intercession. I'll just mention this briefly. That Moses and the congregation, it says the whole congregation, were out there interceding on behalf of those who had gone out to do wrong. Moses and the whole congregation, we have a prayer service coming on Friday. How many of you are moved by the sin that is going on in the community and people are committing in this church that is affecting the whole congregation? How many of you are moved by the number of people who are disconnected from God? How many of you are moved by how passive your own friends are, that they are not even coming to worship God? Moses and the whole congregation was moved, and they were out there crying, pleading with God to turn this wrath away from them. How many of you are moved to come out to join us on Friday at 8 o'clock to seek God's face? Because revival isn't going to come when you are sitting at home in front of your television with your feet up, watching television at 8 o'clock on Friday when there is a prayer service. How many of you are moved? And what do you want? What do you really want? Do you want to live under God's blessings? If you want to live under God's blessings, you need intentionally, daily, to put on the new self. Because what happens is, each day as you put on the new self, you are taking off the old one. You put on the new one, you are taking off the old one. Anyone who says, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, is not a learner. I don't go near such people very much because they drain me dry. I like those, it says, iron sharpens iron. And therefore, I like those who sharpen me. What do you want? To be someone who is blessed of God or someone who comes under God's wrath? That's a decision for you. I cannot make that for you. What do you want? Because if you want to come under God's blessings, you need to daily put on the new self. That is something that you have to do. And we have gone to great lengths. Tomorrow, 1 a.m., the readings will come out. It will include what I have preached on. And it is for you to find the time to sit and meditate on it and receive revelation in it. So that daily, you will take off the old self and put on the new self. What do you want? Please bow your heads.
I surrender.